The Stay in Your Car, in the Driveway radio show. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Slow News Day is on the way. Before we wrap the show up in about an hour's time, each and every Monday we do a segment called Men Tell Health, because we thought that we needed to address perhaps the imbalance of, I'm not saying that, I for one don't necessarily buy into the conversation that, I mean, I think we've changed a lot about how we feel about mental health, but I don't know that we've changed as much as people think we have. So I wanted to normalize perhaps talking a little bit about mental health with men. We clearly have done shows with women, but women tell health doesn't sound as good, doesn't roll off the alliteration as well. So we do a segment every once in a while called Three Dudes Talking About Therapy. The dudes today include a man who you've heard on this radio station plenty of times. Dale Curd is the former host of CBC's Hello Goodbye, which is a fantastic show, and co-author of Living Lightly, Bringing Happiness and Calm to Your Everyday Life. And it's published by HarperCollins if you want to look for that. Dale, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Jim, it's good to be with you again.
Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah, so the book is a 365-day journey, if you will. We give you, my co-wrote it with my wife, Kim, and every day is a sort of a day to self-reflect. So it's a way of becoming kind of more aware of who we are, getting us to consider things like relationships, friendships, health, nature, work, like all of these sort of doorways, if you will, into what makes a full life. And so every day we write about a topic, and then sometimes we ask the reader a question, or we share something very personal about ourselves in the writing, as a way of sort of opening up a door for somebody to think about how that might land for them, like how the topic lands for them. Yeah. And we did it every single day, with the idea of it being sort of a self-directed journey into helping a person discover more about who they are.
Fantastic. Thank you. Here is John Carson as well. He's a former police officer who pioneered mindfulness-based resiliency programs. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me. I enjoy your walk-up music every day when I'm looking at the Instagram pages.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you tell me a little bit about the mindfulness-based resiliency? I got to tell you, like, everybody has told me all my life to be a little more, you know, mindful. And I always, like, they're like, be in the now. And I was like, well, how do you do that? Because I'm not good at doing that. I feel like I've been on vacation and been to some really great places that I wasn't really at, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get it. I think if we can kind of relate it back just even to the letter you just got from one of your listeners, you were just in the now and describing and thanking her on air as I was listening, as leading up to us coming on.
Yeah.
But when it comes to mindfulness, I don't like calling it mindfulness when it broached into the emergency service. That's why we kind of use resiliency. But really, realistically, it's just about having some self-awareness and being in the place that you're at and recognizing all of the things that are going on around you. I think probably the best description that my work partner, Norm Ray, he helped me, he was a sergeant with my old service. He helped me pioneer some of the stuff as well. Where was the Bruce Lee videos? If you focus on the finger, you'll miss all the heavenly glory. And I think that's what mindfulness to me really, really believes. And I think you can translate that. And I think the sports world has done a really, really good job at it with sports psychology.
Yeah.
I'm watching Game 7 right now, the Celtics and the Miami Heat. All of those individuals did preparatory stuff before the big bang tonight, which was basically the start of that Game 7. And I think, what is your preparation prior to those big moments? And what do you learn post those events, whether it's post-traumatic growth or post-traumatic stress disorder? I think any type of stressful event, if you have some type of awareness leading into it, it helps you navigate the challenges of it later on.
Yeah. Interesting. So how do both of you know each other, and how are you kind of fans of each other's work, Dale?
You know, it's probably best if John answers that, actually.
All right. Do you want me to do it? Do you want me to start from the beginning, John?
No, or no, I got you, Jim. Dale saved my life.
Wow.
I think I don't even know how long ago. It's felt like I've known Dale pretty much my entire life. But I clipped out a newspaper article, and it was this guy, Dale, on the back of, like, I don't know what edition it was, but he was in a men's groups, and he was having, like, the way the article described, it was like, I want to say it was like this godly figure, but it was like this individual who was holding space for men as they challenged some of the norms that society kind of tries to push on them, but also about having deeper conversations. And I think the first time I kind of sent them an email, and I think we're looking back 2009, 2010, possibly around that area, and mental health wasn't what it is now when we come to openly discussing it. And being a police officer at the time, I was a little scared of what my colleagues might think of me going down that pathway. And I think I remember one of the occasions where I would kind of go down, and he had his office in the Beaches, and I would kind of walk around the block and park far away, and just to make sure no one would notice me going in. But it was through those one-on-one sessions, and then ultimately I'll let Dale speak to, we had men's group, and I think that was very instrumental in him becoming a huge part of my life, not just for saving my life, but also for he's family. I don't know how else to say it any more than that. Like, he's an individual who can connect with you on such a deeper level, but it doesn't seem like that all the time until you sometimes walk away from some of the Dale conversations, then you're like, oh, like, did we just say that?
Yeah.
Did we just have that conversation as two guys, right?
Yeah. Dale, where was it for you in your life that you seem to be a bit of a trailblazer? You probably don't want to be called that, in terms of recognizing that, you know, men, to be real tough men, have to be vulnerable and honest, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's probably the healthier thing to do, to be, if you're going to be like a tough man, you have to be in touch with, you know, who you are. And maybe it's even dumb for me to use the term tough man, but where did you recognize that there needed to be an opportunity for men to just talk about their feelings?
You know, well, I came by it honestly. I think John's story and working with John and other men, you know, it's because that's how I came up. So I started as a client, if you will, or a patient in men's group back in early 2000s, might have been actually the year 2000. And got introduced to it through a friend at work. He said to me, look, I know you're going through a really tough time. I was coming out of my second marriage at the time, and with a three-year-old son. And, you know, in a way, history was repeating itself because my parents had separated and divorced. And I'd kind of sworn to myself that when I had kids that I would do everything I possibly could with what I knew about relationships to try to make that relationship work. And I now know that I didn't have the tool belt. I just didn't have the skills, and I certainly hadn't had the conversations about what had happened to me when I was younger that was actually impacting and influencing how I did relationships, specifically intimacy. So a friend of mine said to me, look, I go to this men's group, and this was 2000. And he said, I think you'll get a lot out of it. It's kind of mind blowing. We sit around, it's facilitated by these two guys, Owen and Kirk, at this wacky place in the East End. So I took him up on it because I trusted him and he was coming from a really caring place. And I say that because that invitation I've seen happen hundreds of times over the years that not only that I was in men's groups, but then I went on to facilitate and run men's groups, that invitation that to come in and join a safe place, a safe space where you can just talk. Sometimes it doesn't have to be about feelings. Sometimes it's just getting what's in your head out into the open, so you can hear yourself say it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, So
can you hold on right there, Dale? We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll finish that thought. We're doing our conversation on mental health. It's three guys talking about therapy. More in a moment here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
And thank you very much for your time over the iHeartTalk Radio Network. This is our Monday segment that is called Mental Health, where every other week we just get together with three guys. I am playing the role of one of the guys, and we talk about mental health and we talk about therapy. John Carson is one of the people we're talking about tonight. He has just told us, if you're just joining us, that our other guest, Dale Curd, basically saved his life. He's a former police officer who now is a pioneer in mindfulness-based resiliency programs. And Dale Curd with us as well, co-author of a book called Living Lightly, Bringing Happiness and Calm to Your Everyday. So, Dale, just before we had to take a break there, you were talking about the process of learning to open up, something that I think a lot of men are raised in ways where it's not encouraged to talk about your feelings and like man up and stuff like that. But I mean, aren't you really manning up if you're taking care of yourself? Taking care of yourself means you can better take care of your partner and your kids and all that.
Totally. 100%. And I think what's happened is we've kind of lost contact, if you will, with our history as men. So if you go back and you look at some of the big figures, for instance, and writers and philosophers and Stoicism, as just as an example, there's a big component that is self-reflection. Like you have to know thyself, right? And I think coming out of the Industrial Revolution, we lost that. We just became workers and we were conditioned to detach from our bodies. We were told to, you know, be away from our families, work away from our families. And that's a 150 year plus legacy that men are still coming out of, especially in Western society. We don't know how to talk about our feelings and we don't know what to express inside of us because we're not conditioned to have that relationship with our body, to have our that relationship with our emotions. And a place like men's group, and I wish there were more men's groups where guys could just drop in and open up. Because what happened for me in terms of just opening up and getting out what was going on for me and what I was thinking and what I was feeling, I watched happen literally to thousands of guys like John. And it's transformative in such a positive way.
It's interesting because, John, when you were talking about the first time you met up with Dale and driving around the block and parking far away so nobody would see you walk in and say to you later, hey, what was that building that you were going into? What was the kind of breakthrough moment for you to realize, hey, there's nothing to be ashamed of here?
It's funny because I was trying to reflect on that. And I walked in trying to be very covert. And when I walked into his office, the receptionist that was sitting there happened to be a lady I used to work with in Sault Ste. Marie. And she was like, hey, John, how's it going? And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Here I went through all these measures to try and protect my identity and going to seek some type of mental health and get some therapy. And there's a person that I knew from my hometown in Northern Ontario where I was like, yeah, this is okay. This is not abnormal for me to be doing this and seeking these types of things. Because to Dale's points, we have been conditioned as men growing up to suck it up, not complain, not say this, not say that. And I think what I learned through men's group was like how to be an effective communicator through my failures. And my failures, whether it was relationships or friendships, like how can I transition and be a better person? And I wouldn't have gotten there without things like the men's group. And I'm embarking on something right now with a business partner. Her and I are working on this. We're just going to call it Men Move. And it's just going to be where we can go and work out as in the fitness world, and then kind of do a debrief at the end of it and kind of have conversations at that they normally probably wouldn't have in their everyday coming and going.
Guys, I feel like I'm not getting the best out of you since this is basically a 20-minute segment and we've only got 5 minutes left, so time really flies by. I wonder, Dale, if you clearly made the connection, as you said, to thousands of people like John. What is like a really eye-level way that you would like to tell people something, almost like a breakthrough of how important it is to be connected and be open to be vulnerable and talk about your feelings?
That's a great question. I think, really simply put, it's impossible to enjoy life fully, and it's impossible to navigate life, and life is really hard if you're not connected to yourself, if you're not understanding what you feel, how you feel it, and how to express it. It's extremely difficult to have close personal relationships that are meaningful. And guys, we want that. Trust mm-hmm. me, we want that. To go through life, and I see this with older guys that I work with, the guys in their 70s and their 80s, they're lonely because they haven't got the skills to maintain long-term meaningful friendships. And they're alone, and, yeah. and they're alone inside themselves, you know? So I think, you know, to John's credit, he took forward what he got out of Ben's group and all the mindfulness trainings and resiliency training he's done. And he and I worked together. We tried to change this inside of policing by teaching officers how to de-escalate individuals that were experiencing a mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And one of the eye-opening things there was that a lot of the times the officers who really came through that, they were the ones that had the high EQ. They were the ones that could talk about themselves. They were the ones who could empathize. And the ones who were really challenged by de-escalating someone were the ones who were disconnected from themselves first.
Yep. Yeah.
Would you agree, John?
I absolutely agree. And I would even go it even further. And Norm and I would do this in some of our training scenarios where I would watch younger officers in a simple scenario stop breathing and not breathing. And what we know is that when you stop breathing, hypervigilance, hyperarousal starts to take over, your self-awareness starts to wane, and you start to make mistakes. And I think it's a fascinating thing with inside that culture, because yep. not many people have a lens to view it from a training level.
I feel like we've got so many more things to talk about. I've got about a minute left. Well, John, what would you tell people being on the other side of this and kind of having a breakthrough in about a minute of being not afraid to move and take care of themselves?
I would say, to not sound cliche, but you're not alone. I think to Dale's point, and just to build off that, there are men out there that are good people that are willing to listen and help you, guide you in the directions that will be positive and positive for your self-growth.
Very good. Guys, I'm sorry we're so short on time. Either one of you want to give out, like if somebody was listening for, and this is across Canada, so it might not necessarily be easy to do, but where would they reach out for a men's group? Would they look on social media, or how would you find one, Dale?
Well, I think there's some great directories out there. I think Psychology Today has a great directory. I think there's lots of great resources. Jack.org is a great resource for men to be able to find groups in their communities and get support. And really, that's all it is. Just get in there and have a conversation.
All right. Yep. Jack.org is the name of that website for people. John Carson, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Dale Curd, thank you for your time. Three gentlemen talking about therapy on mental health.